Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I am joined by my good friend Christian Castain, and we are here to recap the Super Bowl in Eagles Super Bowl win. Wow, 41-33, an instant classic. And I'm just gonna start by asking you this, Chris. Is this like wow?
This is so exciting.
Wow. I don't know where I'm going with this. But I mean, if you think about it, the last three New England Super Bowls have been instant classics. Is this another one of those?
Oh yeah, for sure. This goes down as an this goes down as an offensive classic for sure. I mean, this is one of the best Super Bowls I've seen in since, let's say, within the past 5 years. This is might be the best. Last year's was kind of hard to beat, but I mean, it's hard to beat this one. It seems like every year we go past one and it's harder to beat that one, but the next Super Bowl finds a way to beat it, you know?
Yeah, no kidding, but this just, it was a total offensive game. I think that no matter what we both said on our preview show, I will admit, I shouldn't have doubted. I think I'm vindicated in two ways. One, Tom Brady didn't lose the game, so it wasn't necessarily history, because if the defense had played just a little better, he would have won this game. So I don't want to hear anything about history, although I know you'll still bring it up.
At some point.
But I don't regret picking the Patriots. I think that Tom Brady had an awesome game. This was probably his best Super Bowl, I think. And they lost it, but it's his best statistical Super Bowl looking at him. 505 yards, 3 touchdowns. Like, those are incredible numbers. And the other thing was, like, I don't know about you, but I have this game like 27-17. Yeah. There was never a thought in my mind that this game would get into the 30s.
And 40s, yeah. I did not think the Eagles would score 40 points. I thought there was a 0% chance that happened, and it happened. But let me go back to what you said about picking the game. You can't blame you for picking the New England Patriots. They defeat the odds all the time. They beat history all the time. I thought it was a toss-up because I almost changed my pick. I'll be honest. I was close to changing my pick. I could not decide if I thought Tom Brady would beat history or not. And I just finally went, I said, this is so much to defeat, I didn't think he would. That was pretty much my thought behind it. I mean, and what I said turned out to be true, but still, I can't blame nobody for picking New England because of that, because if anybody's going to defeat history, it's Tom Brady. So I'll give you that. You can't blame me for picking New England.
All right. So let's talk about the Patriots first. And I think this blends two of our topics that we want to talk about together. Who or what on the Patriots caused them to lose this game? And I'll start. I think it was pretty obvious. It was the defense. The defense was absolutely horrific. I went to, just a little behind the scenes peek, I went to a Super Bowl party at a house full of rowdy, just awesome New England Patriots fans. And the one thing that was a constant throughout this game was they were shocked at how bad the defense played. And I can't blame them. This was the defense that we saw at the beginning of the year. This was not the defense we saw for the second half of the season and through the playoffs. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, missed tackles were a huge part of it. Just big play after big play. They couldn't get any pressure on Nick Foles. They didn't play good coverage besides Stephon Gilmore. He was their only good corner in this game. And, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I was also shocked they didn't play Malcolm Butler. And now Malcolm Butler, after the game, is like, you know, the team gave up on me. I think I'm going to leave. And I don't blame him, because he's their best defensive player, and they didn't play him a single snap. I want to know what happened there. But I'm shocked at how badly the Patriots defense played.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I'll be honest, and this is really PG-13, but their defense for three of the four quarters was shitty. It was absolutely awful. It was all night long. It was, and also, like I said, one quarter out of the whole game. I'm not going to say like 6 minutes of the game, but three quarters of defense was absolutely awful. It was, it was pathetic. Malcolm Butler should have been playing the game. I don't understand it. It must have been something off the field. It had to have been something in that locker room that made Bill Belichick not play him, or there's some kind of injury we don't know about, which I would doubt.
Still, that's if it was a locker room thing, that's an, like, I can understand maybe setting him out for like the first quarter, but when you see that your defense is just giving up so many yards, that guy's the defensive leader. You have to put him in. I know that you like to put everything on Belichick a lot, and I don't, but I will say this one time, I think this game had something that, like, Belichick kind of screwed up this game with that, well, I think. And I don't know. There were just some questionable play, like the trick play to Tom Brady. I get it. It almost worked, but Tom Brady, like, you know, Tom Brady's probably not going to catch the football. And you know, even if he does, why would you put your quarterback at risk of being totally, like, clobbered?
Well, here's what
I don't know. Well,
that's not the one that really got me. I understand that you have to try trick plays sometimes, because sometimes you need to loosen up the defense, and you can't just go base. I understand trying one or two a game, but that was such a critical time to try it on a 3rd and 4. Like, I understand if it's 2nd down or something, but that's 3rd and 4. It was 3rd and 4, and then you have one play, because they went for it on 4th down. You have one, or they either missed a field goal, one or two. I can't remember for sure. That's been so long ago. But you have one chance on 3rd down, and you're going to try a trick play? I just don't understand that one. But I think it's the end of the game that what bothered me.
It's bad situational football, which is crazy because the Patriots are built on good situational football. Like, the play calling wasn't there. And at the end, the kickoff toss, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that was Belichick's call, and I don't think the special teams called it. I think the more I think about it, they just kind of ad-libbed. I think that the kickoff team saw something, and they just kind of were like, all right, let's give this a try. And they were just trying to be heroes, and what they should have done was they should have let the ball just bounce out of the end zone so Tom Brady could have started at the 20-yard line and probably marched down the field and win the game. And that was the other thing that bothered me. The play before the Hail Mary, he throws, well, no, not the play before the Hail Mary, the Amendola catch,
right, yeah,
in the middle of the field. Like, I get it, they're in the middle of the field, but Brady just walked up to the ball. Like, I get it. You got to look like you're remaining calm, but at some point you got to realize you got to hustle. And I don't know. But it was just bad situational football all night long on the offense. Like, the offense didn't play badly. They made the wrong decisions at the critical moments, which we never see from the Patriots.
Well, I'll say this about that. I think that play, the toss on the kickoff, I think they could have saved time. That you would have had 7 extra seconds, 7 to 8, give or take a second. And that's almost enough time to have another – that's enough time for Tom Brady to throw another pass up 9 yards out of bounds. That's 9 extra yards to make it closer. I just think – I just don't think – like you said, you couldn't have said it better about situational football. This was poor situational football because, you know, you have the best quarterback ever playing, arguably the best quarterback ever playing. Why not give him the best chance to win the football game? The best chance with the most time. And I want to move back a little bit because I want to go back to the timeouts. Bill Belichick called a timeout with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left for the defense. I kind of understand that, but you kind of want to save that timeout for Tom Brady. Even if it takes off some of the clock, at least he'll have a chance to throw a 20, 25-yard pass, and he'll be able to call a timeout and have another chance, a better chance. I thought they would have had a better chance saving the timeouts for the offense rather than the defense, because you still would have had the same amount of you would have had the same there was still a 2 minute warning, so you would have still had the three and out, or they would have kicked a field goal is what I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree. On so what do we want to talk about here next?
Where do we want to go? Let's see. Gosh. Do we want to go to the Ertz sketch? Zach Ertz?
Why don't you start us out on that and then ask, phase me in.
All right. Well, was it 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, or it was like right at 2 minutes left when Nick Foles threw a touchdown pass or a pass to Zach Ertz? It went to about the three, and there's some controversy around that catch because you thought that he dropped the pass, or that's what I'm assuming because we didn't really talk about it. You thought he dropped the pass, and you can correct me once you start if I'm wrong. And he dived in, he dropped the pass right when he hit the end zone, and then it hit the ground, and then he caught it again in the end zone. Is that a catch or no catch? Because you told me on Twitter it was a no catch, but confirm what you said because I was kind of confused.
I'm kind of confused too. It's the catch rule. Like, I'm pretty sure the whole nation's kind of confused. Yep. Like, you look at what Chris Collinsworth said and Al Michaels, they didn't think it was a catch either. Like, his knees were, he was down as the ball was crossing the goal line. So it was a touchdown there, but then he didn't quote unquote survive the ground. So the ball bounces up, and yes, he catches it, but at that point, he's already down, so it doesn't really count as a catch. It is so confusing, the catch rule. And, like, I think that the NFL and Roger Goodell kind of addressed this week in some of his press conferences. They need to take a really hard look at the catch rule this offseason and figure out what the hell a catch is. Because in the biggest moment of the year, it seems like in every big game, there is a catch that people aren't sure is a catch. And you look back to the previous Eagles touchdown. Let me recap. This is bad podcasting. But let me pull up the summary of the game. You look at the Corey Clement touchdown, where they had to review it to just see if he got his feet down right in the end zone. Yeah. You know what one I'm talking about?
The one before. Yeah. That.
So to me, like, he had 1 foot down, but then you look at that one too. That's also a catch rule thing because the second foot he got down, you could argue the tip of his toe is out of bounds. So that might not have been a catch. I know that people don't like to defend the Patriots, but they kind of got screwed on at least one call in this game. And we'll get to another call I think they kind of got screwed on to later, but I just kind of think that either way, you got to figure out what the hell a catch is and fix it because it's ruining the game.
Yeah, this shouldn't be this hard because, in my opinion, that was a catch. If it's against the rules or not, that's up for debate. The problem is I think that's a catch because he caught the football. He took 2 steps, which means he's a runner with the football. He has possession, If he were to drop it or whatever, it would be a fumble. When he took the two steps, and then when he dived to the end zone beyond that white line, he still had possession of the football. So as soon as that football touched the line, the end zone line, that was a touchdown. That should have been a touchdown. I'm kind of confused on where you're confused. I guess my question is your do you think that's not a catch at all, or do you think it's a catch but it's not, it's against the rules, current rules? That's my question.
For the Clement touchdown?
No, the Ertz touchdown. We'll go back to the Clement touchdown in a minute.
That's such a hard question to answer because I disagree with the rule completely because it doesn't clearly state
what I'm saying. That's not what I asked.
I guess I'm a little bit confused on what you're asking.
I'll ask again. So did you think that was a catch entirely? Give or take the rules, leave the rules out. Do you think that was a catch?
To me personally?
Yes, to you personally.
That was a catch, but I knew in my heart of hearts that due to the NFL rule book, that wasn't a catch.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was asking.
So, if you know what I mean, like, that looks like a catch to me. In my opinion, that should be considered a catch. But, like, you got to remain consistent on your rules because you look at the Steelers catch now, that infamous play. It was literally the exact same play.
Pretty much.
I don't understand. Like, how can you call no touchdown there, but touchdown there? Like,
it's inconsistent.
It's such an inconsistent, confusing rule that I don't understand. The Clement touchdown is less hairy for me. Yes, it's a catch, but he doesn't get both feet in. I feel like the tip of his cleat was on the white line of the end zone, so I consider that out at that point. But you could make a case for, yes, that's a catch. I don't have as big a problem with that as I do this. It's just,
It's just a catch rule. The Clement catch, I actually thought, I didn't think it was a catch, honestly. I thought there was less of a chance of was less of a chance that was a catch than the Ertz catch being a touchdown. I thought the Ertz catch was a touchdown. Give or take the rules, because nobody knows what the hell the rules are nowadays. But the Clement touchdown, like you said, his foot touched out of bounds before he had full, complete possession of that football. That should have been an incompletion, in my opinion. But I guess since they called it on the field, I guess they had to make it stand because I guess they thought it was closer than it really was. But I honestly saw it with my own eyes after a couple of times. I don't see how they didn't see it, but that's neither here or there. But like I said, Clemen, not a catch. Ertz, a catch, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I know.
It's so confusing.
We could talk about this for literally hours. Let's move on to the Eagles a little bit. To you, what won this game for the Eagles?
The last 6 minutes, the defensive line stepped up, pressured Tom Brady. The play that won them that football game was when they sack fumbled Tom Brady. I knew it there. I knew that game was over because I thought Tom Brady could have drove at that point. That was what won them that football game.
Yeah, but then you look at it, Bo. I disagree there just because you look at how long it took for the defense to get a sack. Like, we both came into this game thinking they were going to get to Brady like 3 or 4 times.
Well,
but the Patriots O-line, you got to give it to them. They played an awesome game. Like, up until that last drive, the Eagles got no pressure on Brady.
Well, let me make myself clear before you really start. What I meant is that was the one play that won the game. What I know what you're saying. You're going to say Nick Foles and that offense won the game, which is true. They truly won the game because they played more consistent longer. But I'm saying that's the one play that changed the game entirely.
I agree with that statement. I'm not going to go Nick Foles. I'm going to go running game. I said this about the Patriots, and it held true for the Eagles. The Eagles wore down the Patriots' defense early, I think, by running the ball. LeGarrette Blount had an awesome day. 90 yards, a touchdown. Jay Ajayi, 57 yards on 9 carries. Like, every run the Philadelphia Eagles got was a big run. And that opened up so much for Nick Foles underneath. You look at what Foles did, he only made like 2 throws over 20 yards.
Yeah.
Like, they had him just play a check down game, like up and down the field. They only had him throw deep twice. And I mean, it paid off. I think what won this game was, as much credit as we give Belichick, and I think I've mentioned this earlier, but we don't give enough credit to Doug Peterson. Like, what he did with Nick Foles as his quarterback for, Jesus, like, an entire Super Bowl, like, an entire playoff run against the Falcons. They had a rough first half. Peterson tried to call the same game plan he called for Wentz, and he was like, nope, this isn't working. And he came out in the second half, and he adapted. And everyone says the Patriots make adjustments. The Eagles made the biggest adjustment right there. He started running the ball. He started giving Nick Foles wide open flat passing plays in the flat, little checkdowns that his wide receivers could turn into big plays. And then you look at the game against Minnesota, he realized that they took away all the underneath stuff, so he let Foles take deep shots. And then this game, he started out throwing shallow, and then when worse came to worse, he trusted Nick Foles, and Nick Foles paid off. Like, I'm going to get to a point on Nick Foles next, because I heard something infuriating in our group chat about him. But I don't know. What did you think about the Eagles' offense overall?
I thought Doug Peterson's guts were... He put everything out there on the field. The fourth down... At the
total gumption.
At the goal line, when Trey Burton threw the football to Nick Foles for the touchdown... On fourth and goal,
that's the ballsiest play in Super Bowl history.
You have to have guts to do that. I mean, I give him applause for doing it. Nobody else would have done that against the Patriots. Nobody.
To be honest, I could not believe last night that he did not get more votes for Coach of the Year. Like, he has been... Carson Wentz has overshadowed... I think Doug Peterson makes Carson Wentz. I don't think Carson Wentz... Like, I know he's uber-talented. I'm taking nothing away from Carson Wentz. I'm going to release my final top 10 quarterbacks of the year. And spoiler, he's going to be in there. But at the same time, you got to look at Doug Peterson and say... People were so critical of this guy. He might be one of the greatest offensive... coaching minds we've ever seen. And I think he could be the next Belichick, to be honest with you.
And that's to take nothing away from guys like Kyle Shanahan either. And they're all...
Yeah.
But I think he proved tonight that he might be as good, if not better, than Kyle Shanahan as a play caller and as an offensive mind. That performance. But it was really... Then we think about it, and then it was like, well, it was him as the head coach, not as the offensive mind necessarily, for making the calls on fourth and goal, or fourth down, because that was not the only fourth down they went for. He went for 2 or 3 fourth downs, and they got them all, which is crazy. I mean, but like I said, it's as much as him being having that mind as a head coach as it is him as an offensive mind.
Yeah. Whatever you want to call it. Balls, yeah, guts, onions, gumption.
Whatever.
He's got so much. And
crazy.
You gotta hand it to him. All right. Are you ready for my Nick Foles talk?
Sure. Go ahead. I'm interested.
Okay.
So,
do you know what I'm talking about?
You didn't tell me about it, so I'm just listening to you.
Well, okay.
You didn't tell.
So our good friend Tristan Beckman in the group chat,
I do.
During this game said, if Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl and the Denver Broncos can't get Kirk Cousins, I wouldn't mind having Nick Foles as my quarterback. First, let me say this. All respect to Nick Foles. He proved everyone wrong. Yada, yada, yada. Won the Super Bowl MVP. Good for you. Now let's get down to brass tacks. I loved Case Keenum this year. I respected Case Keenum. But I also realized that Case Keenum is a year-to-year proposition. I also realized that Nick Foles is a game-to-game proposition. And I don't want him anywhere near my team. To suggest that this guy is a franchise quarterback, even though he's, quote, won the Super Bowl, is frankly insulting, because in my opinion, he's not even top 15. Like, the guy is a product of good coaching. He improved his pocket movement, yes, and he hit wide open checkdown passes, yes. But on one of the deep shots he took, he was lucky the Patriots didn't intercept it. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
He did get intercepted.
There was
once.
Yes, he did get intercepted, though, one time.
He
was picked off once. But you looked at that play, and it was just straight up in the air and awful. And I'm just telling you, if you're a fan, if you're an analyst like us, don't get sucked into Nick Foles and Case Keenum.
Well,
because they are completely different quarterbacks. Nick Foles is a few tiers lower, and yes, I'll give Case Keenum credit. He can be a good bridge guy, but Nick Foles is a career backup. I'm sorry. Like, if I have to suffer through watching a team with Nick Foles on it, like, I know NFL GMs go gaga for one game performances, but don't fall in love with Nick Foles. Is all I'm saying to anyone who's listening to this. Do you agree, Chris?
Well, here's what I'll say about that. It's the difference between if you think he's that good or if you think he's a product of Doug Peterson. And
he's a total product.
I mean, that's
Peterson.
But that's the question we're really asking, because if you think he's this,
what do you think?
I think he's a product of Doug Peterson. I really do, because I haven't seen him play that well. Like, the way he played today, we haven't seen him play that well since 2013. There's a reason why he was sitting on the bench. I mean, I'm just being honest. There's a reason why he was not a starter for 3 years, or actually 4 years. I think he's going to be a product of Doug Peterson. I don't think – I'm not – here's the thing with Denver. Is he better than any quarterback in Denver? Maybe. I think it's a toss-up, maybe.
No, I think he's probably just as good as Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
He's on that level. Yeah. Like, he's a solid to really good backup, but you don't want him starting 16 games, which is why I heard something about Trevor Siemian to Atlanta.
That's not
going to
happen.
Just a side note. Why?
Well, I'd say it shouldn't happen.
As a backup.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not trading Matt Ryan.
Right, as a backup, and I think that's a great place for him.
As a backup.
Trevor Siemian's the kind of guy where if your QB gets hurt and he has to play 8 games, he will win you at least 5 games. And then maybe you put him in the playoffs and you see what happens if you have a good coach. But Nick Foles is the same person. Like, don't fall in love with this guy is all I'm saying.
I think I think there's a chance Nick Foles might have a better upside than Trevor Siemian, but I think they're a really close quarterback. I don't think Trevor Siemian's that much better at all than Nick Foles is. I'm not a buyer into either one yet. We can say Nick Foles just won the Super Bowl, but to be honest, like I said, I think this is a product of Doug Peterson, which I could be wrong. He could end up way better than Trevor Siemian, but I just don't think so. We don't really know because we've seen it. But the thing is, under Chip Kelly, he played fairly well. Not awesome, but he played fairly well. So I don't know if he could be that type of quarterback in a different system. But for me, I don't think the coaching staff in Denver is as good as the one in Philadelphia. And I think that would make a difference. I think that would be the difference right there. That's my thoughts on it, really.
Yeah, for me, yeah. All right, so do you have anything else you want to talk about for this game?
We want to talk about the Cook's concussion?
Yes. So for me, that was another thing that I thought kind of went against the Patriots was I thought that play was a penalty. I honestly thought that should have been an ejection. And I get that. At that point, he's no longer defenseless when he turns uphill. But that was clearly a purposeful head-to-head shot. Like, he went in with his helmet, he knew where he was going, and he aimed for the head. And that was a dirty play, and I think that should have been an ejection, to be honest with you. I thought the Patriots got totally screwed on that call.
Well, I watched this play a couple of times, that head-to-head hit. I honestly thought it was a legal hit, but it was borderline. I thought it was borderline legal and not legal. He was a runner, keep that in mind. But I don't think that we can say that that would have been a big change in the game, but the fact that Brandon Cooks was out was a bigger change than the penalty would have been, let's be honest. And I'm sure you agree with that, right?
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah. That was the fact that Brandon Cooks was out. That was a big change because Tom Brady had it going with Brandon Cooks in that first quarter until, of course, he went out. I thought they would have had a better chance, but.
But you look at it, and that almost makes the Brady performance more impressive because the guys he was throwing to were Danny Amendola, Chris Hogan, who hadn't really showed up in the playoffs until this game. Chris Hogan, by the way, had a monster game. 128 yards, 6 catches, 1 touchdown. Like,
he stepped up.
He had an awesome game. And Gronk had another great game. I mean, you look at this game and you look at the stat line and you just have to say to yourself, like,
it's the defense.
No one ever criticizes the Patriots defense. It's always, oh, they're going to be middle of the road and bend but don't break and Tom Brady will take care of the rest. Maybe it's time to start building a defense there because for a long time they haven't had a defense, and with Tom Brady coming into the latter years of his career, it would pay to have a good defense. To be honest with you, I think they're going to do something very un-Patriots this offseason. Let's kind of spin forward.
Sure.
The Patriots this offseason. I think we're going to see a lot of changes. You brought up something, and I'll let you expand on it more, about Gronk saying something about his future. I think that there have been rumblings that Patricia might stay in New England, which would totally screw over Detroit. I wouldn't shock me if that happens, but it would shock me. I don't know about that. I think Malcolm Butler's gone, no matter what. I think he's made himself public enemy number one of Bill Belichick for some reason. And I think Belichick's going to trade him or cut him. And, I mean, they need to target big money in free agency towards a defensive star. They need to build a defense. They need to draft defensively. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, what do the Patriots do? Because you look at Tom Brady's numbers, and I did look this up. It's possible that the losing team can have the Super Bowl MVP. In my opinion, Tom Brady was the Super Bowl MVP. Because, like, he's the only reason this game was close.
Well, I could understand it if it wasn't the losing team could have an MVP, because I honestly thought, which we knew, whoever the winning quarterback was going to be the MVP, which was end up being Nick Foles. I could understand that, but I do believe the true MVP. But it's tough because if you're the most valuable player, you'd lost the football game. So how are you the most valuable player? It doesn't make sense in a way, but in my opinion, it should be Nick Foles, because I think only the winning team should have an MVP, most valuable player for that Super Bowl game. That's my opinion on it. But if we're talking about the whole game, the best performance of all, we're going to say Tom Brady. I think that's clear.
Yeah, I totally agree. And now I kind of want to know, what's next for the Patriots?
I kind of wonder. What Bill Belichick did to that team by not playing Malcolm Butler was almost a crime, in my opinion. If we're not talking about real crime, but it was just, I don't understand it. That was out of the wild. I think, honestly, there's a chance. I'm not saying it's a high chance. I'm not saying it's a low chance. There's a chance Bill Belichick leaves. I think this game, there was too many things that hit my mind that was like, this is not Patriots-like. This is not Bill Belichick-like to do this. So that kind of makes me wonder if he's going to leave. But really, then we talk about the Rob Gronkowski. He's saying that he's going to consider retiring whenever he thinks about it. He said that he's going to decide his future over the next little while. That's what I read from Yahoo earlier, which... I can't confirm that because I didn't read the whole article, but that's what it said. So,
you think he's going to demand a trade, though?
Rob Gronkowski or Malcolm Butler?
Yeah, because I mean, no. You look at Gronk and you figure he has like 1 or 2 years left.
I can't see why he would. If he's going to stay with the team, why not stay with the team with the best chance to go back to the Super Bowl? You know what I mean? Unless everything's about money,
I guess, but he could ask for a trade literally to anywhere. Like, he has that much pool, and people would give up a lot.
I think it would help.
And I mean, a lot for Rob Gronkowski.
I think it would help the defense. I think they could get some defensive pieces out of it and start building.
I don't think they need... And this is going to sound controversial, and you're going to totally disagree... I don't think Rob Gronkowski's as valuable to this offense as he once
was. That's
why. Because you look at like what they've done the last few years without him when he's injured, and they're still a great offense. I wonder if even if he doesn't decide to retire, if they move him this offseason.
Well, to go back to what you said, I actually agree with you on that one. I think it would actually help the team more than it would hurt if they traded a Gronkowski to get some defensive pieces out of him before he decided to retire, whatever he does. I think it would actually help them in the long run if they traded him rather than keep him. Because, like you said, they've been great without him. They've won Super Bowls. They won Super Bowl last year, 28-3, came back, won the game. I mean, Tom Brady does what he does with or without Gronkowski. I think he could do it, and he's proved he's done it, so why not give him another chance? But instead, the difference would be is you're not going to have him at all the whole season. Can Brady do it a whole season instead of a couple of games or a half a season? Because we've seen Gronkowski play half a season and then get injured. It just normally happens. That's my question, and I think he could, because I think he's done enough over time to prove that he can do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I completely agree with that. Okay, so I guess my final question for you is, why don't you just give us kind of your closing thoughts?
General thoughts
on the general season as a whole.
For which team? The Patriots?
Just the league in general, and how this year ended and how it played out. Like, what stood out the most to you?
It was a controversial season. Excuse me. That ended pretty great. I would say overall, give or take the calls and the with the two catches, I think it ended pretty great. It was a great ending to a controversial season. That's what I think. Overall, I think the biggest part of, I'm going to say NFL in general, I'm not going to go team to any team in particular. Like everybody's been saying all year and years past, they have to fix the catch rule. It just bothers me. It changed the season. It changed this whole season. That was because there's some games that would have been lost or won. Because imagine if Pittsburgh had beaten the Patriots in that week 16 game, then we would be talking about everything would go through Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh would probably play better in their own stadium. So I think that's the biggest thing that needs to be changed in this off season. Besides that, I think the league's going to be pretty great. I think it was pretty great for them, given all the expectations. I think that's the biggest thing that bothers me, is that catch rule.
Yeah. For me, I think the biggest takeaway from this season was I thought that this season was much more competitive than last season. I feel like last year we didn't get as many great games, and you could look here on a week-to-week basis and say almost every week or three-quarters of the weeks of the season, you could find at least four games that were good enough to be considered one of the top games of the year. And the playoffs this year were so much better than the playoffs last year. Like, I know everyone likes to remember the Super Bowl, but before the Super Bowl,
yeah, the playoffs.
Last year, I don't know if you remember, but every one of those playoff games was blowouts. And it was a much more competitive league. I completely agree. They need to change the catch rule. And, yeah, they need to change the catch rule. I think quarterbacks are now going to get paid major money, which is interesting. I think running backs are going to get a lot of more money, though, to be honest. I think that is one part of the game that this year got a lot more love. I think as much as people like to say it's a passing league, like, you have to have a good running back to get anywhere. You look at the final four teams in the NFL, the Jaguars with Leonard Fournette. They got there on a great defense. I think defenses are going to get a lot higher paid because I think people started to realize with a great running back and a good defense and a good running back, you could get as far as a conference championship. And in the Eagles' case, as far as a Super Bowl victory. And the Vikings, I know they didn't rely heavily on the run, and I know Dalvin Cook went down, but you look at that team next year, that Vikings team, it's going to be a run-centric team, and they're going to be great. But I think that was a major, just X's and O's strategy thing that changed this year. I think, for me, I think the NFL needs to realize that it's not just all about quarterback play. Teams without quarterbacks need to start learning how to adapt, learning how to live with a great running game and elite defenses. And it was just, I think it was a wide, a sweeping changes season.
Right. Well, here's another thing that I was thinking about. This is going to change next season, which is going to make the competition a little worse than what we're talking about now, in my opinion, come playoff time, because you have the big stars out. We had a lot of big stars out this season. Look at that Seattle defense. It was all banged up back and forth. And then Aaron Rodgers. That's the one that actually I'm thinking about more than anything. I think if we would had Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs, I think the playoffs would have been worse. I really do, because their defense is absolutely terrible. And we know the Packers would have made the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers. So I think that these things will change next season. I honestly, this could be wrong. I could be thinking wrong. This is too early to be talking about this, but I think the playoffs, there's a good possibility the playoffs will be worse next year than they were this year. Or worse than they were this year, which they were really good this year, so which means there's going to be a disappointment next year come playoff time. In the NFC in particular.
Yeah, that's another thing that you brought up that was good. This year was defined by injuries. Like, I know people are already thinking, like, oh, the Vikings are going to get back, or, oh, the Jaguars are going to be just as great. Like, people are forgetting, like, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be back next year. Deshaun Watson, that's the one that sticks out in my mind, because you looked at the way they played the Patriots in week 3. I think if that team would have kept rolling and made the Patriots, I would have taken them in Foxborough. I think that the Texans next year, this is, again, looking way too far ahead. No one's going to be talking about them because they're going to forget how good Deshaun Watson was. I think the Texans should be a favorite to go to the Super Bowl next year. And you look at Odell Beckham and Dalvin Cook and Aaron Rodgers.
That Seattle defense.
All these guys. And the Seattle defense. And tons more that we're forgetting just because there were so many of them. Andrew Luck. Yep. People forget. Everyone was saying Andrew Luck is a Hall of Fame quarterback before he got injured. And now next year he's going to be back, and we don't know if he'll be the Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's still going to be a top 15 quarterback, if going from top 3 with an injury is probably going to drop him down just a little bit to like 10 or 15. Like, it's going to be crazy next year.
AFC, you have John Gruden and Derek Carr in Oakland. That's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
And not to beat a dead horse, but the Chargers, yeah, like, they were excellent in the second half of the season. And I don't know. We shouldn't get too far into this right now, or else we'll have nothing to talk about in the offseason. But yeah. I don't know. I just thought we'd close on that. We're going to get out of here. We're going to take a vacation for 2 weeks,
I think. 2 weeks.
Which,
we might have one sometime within the next 2 weeks, but we're, for the most part, we're taking a vacation.
Yeah, that's kind of a plan for the whole offseason, is we'll go to much more regulated schedules, about one a week probably, one half-hour, 40-minute show a week. And then if there's, like, breaking news or something we really want to talk about, we might throw out a second episode. But just expect it, one episode a week. I think we're going to take this week off, and then next week off. And then I think we should shoot for President's Day, Chris. I want to do a exercise called I Want to Fix Your Team, and then which will be an episode where we'll have a timer, and we'll go around the entire NFL, and we will choose one thing to fix for each team. So that'll be a lot of fun.
We'll be having a good time throughout the offseason.
Yeah, offseason shows, we're planning on keeping them after we get back from break. We'll probably have a show every other week or during free agency once a week, and then we'll basically go with that schedule all the way up till after the draft and do a draft recap, and then we'll probably take a summer vacation where we'll do maybe like one a month for May, June, and July, and then we'll come back and start all over again in August. But the off season should be fun. Thanks for being with us this season. It was awesome.
Yeah, can you believe it? We've completed a whole season of podcast in the NFL already. Can you believe it's gone by this fast? I mean, really, it feels like gone by in a week.
Yeah, if you look back on it, yeah, it is crazy to think that in like 4 months, or yeah, probably what, August was what, 4 or 5 months ago. In 4 months, we've cranked out, I think this will be close to probably our 70th show, right?
Think so. I can't, it's like 70, it might be like 71 or 72, but it's a lot of shows. I mean, we've recorded, it's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, it will be crazy, and
there'll be many more to come.
We won't be doing 30 shows over the off season, but early tease, near our 100th show, we'll probably do a giveaway in the preseason.
Yeah, that'll be about the preseason, so yeah. Depending on where we're at now.
Awesome.
We'll have to wait and see. It'll be around the preseason, though, I'm pretty sure, because we're not going to, like you said, we're not going to record 30 shows or more over the off season. It's just, there's only so much that happens during the off season, and like you said, we'll be here for breaking news. Be sure to come here, because you won't miss anything if you come here, because we're still going to talk about everything that happens during the off season. Don't worry.
Yep. All right. Well, for me, at Eric18 Utah, Eric Jensen, thanks for this awesome season. Follow at Endzone Podcast, at Endzone Pod on Twitter. Subscribe to our podcast if you're listening. If you're from a Facebook group that I've shared this with, thanks a lot for listening. That's awesome. Follow us, subscribe to us, tell your friends about us, reach out to us. We're looking to maybe find a sponsor for the off season. If you have a small business, we don't charge a lot. We are pretty cheap. But we'd love to have a sponsor this offseason. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and hit us up in the DMs. They're always open on at Endzone Pod. I don't know how to make my DMs public, but
I don't either.
But it's gonna be a fun offseason. All right, Chris, why don't you close us out?
Of course, you can follow me. I changed mine. It's at ChrisChastain12 on Twitter. I'll probably change it back to ChrisPSF, so be sure to look out for both. But in the meantime, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Peace out.
Yep, peace out. Go Eagles.
Yep, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to the Eagles. All right, now we should end this. Love you guys. Bye.